This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
This is exactly right.
Cool. I'm rolling.
Awesome.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
What happened?
Sorry. I just did three things on my phone that came through the dashboard of my vehicle.
No, it was not. I didn't even notice.
Okay, great. Except for when I was flinching and making weird
faces.
Right,
right. I was a little worried about that. Yeah. I'm like, here we go.
Here she's about
to... It's seizure time. It's happening.
You still
haven't told me what to do if that happens.
I would try to figure out a way to put the car in park.
Okay.
I would do that first.
I'll stop it first,
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
And then I'll put it in park. And then just...
Actually, the first step would be to strip the gears in whatever way you can.
Okay, I've done that.
Okay, great. Great. And then, pull over.
I'm serious, though. You've had seizures before.
I have. The beginning is slow, so I would be able to tell you. First of all, here's the indicator. Maybe not. This is my personal one. Everyone's different. First of all, you just found out everyone has seizures. You just don't know it. Just like shingles, they've always been inside you. It's called the aura, and that's the first thing that happens when you have a seizure. And mine is I look over my left shoulder up, and it looks like I'm looking up at the ceiling.
So it would just, from where I'm sitting, look like you're checking your mirrors or making...
like this, though. And my head kind of
bobs. Oh, my God.
And I'm still conscious, and everything's normal.
That scares me because I can't see your face.
I know. So usually I would go like this because sometimes I can't figure out what to say to someone because I don't want to panic. This literally happened to me and Georgia in a meeting the other morning because I didn't sleep all night. And no one noticed it except for Georgia, who goes... It was distracting because it just looked like I was looking over my shoulder. So everyone was kind of like, we were on a conference call. And everyone was, I think, looking at me, but no one was going to say anything because we were on a conference call.
You started the siege?
I started a light siege. But it was just because I hadn't slept all night. It happens every once in a while.
I'm glad I asked, and I'm glad we're having this conversation.
And are you glad I'm driving?
The idea of your head doing what you just did, so your head is exactly looking away from me, and then you turning back and your face is slightly changed in some seizure way. One eye is closed and I have to monitor where your tongue is at. Foam. Of course there'd
pouring
be foam.
Out of my mouth.
That's like from a scary movie.
I mean, you literally
might as well be smiling and, you know.
With blood, I cut the corners of my mouth. I actually, when people have seizures in movies and TV shows, I can't watch it.
Because
it makes me get all, feel real like, oh no, now I have to have one.
That being said, I'm very glad you're behind the wheel and it's not me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing.
I wish I had seizures to be an excuse.
When you have a thing like this, I've never ever had a seizure except for driving. I've never had a seizure. If I thought I might have a seizure, I wouldn't drive. But there have been times where I have a breakthrough aura, which is just my eyes look. So that means I can't look straight ahead. So I've actually, and that's happened a handful of times. And it's like, it's usually about not taking medicine, forgetting, like,
sure,
whatever.
Sleep. Yeah.
Yes. The sleep issue. But I actually know with my eyes closed how to turn on my emergency, how to put my car in park and turn this emergency thing on. Uh-huh. So it would just look like the car broke down because if I was on the freeway, if I was anywhere, I'd just stop the car.
Right.
That's the plan. So I've actually run those scenarios personally, which is a thing you do when you have a thing like this, because my ultimate fear is anything would happen while I was driving.
Well, let's use the same signal that I use for when I can't remember a person's name at a party. Just squeeze my arm and then I'll make the first move.
Perfect.
Yeah. Usually I squeeze someone's arm and then there's been an agreement made and then they go, hi, and introduce
themselves.
So I don't have to do that.
Now, have you ever squeezed the arm of the person whose name you don't know? What's up?
Yeah. I just squeeze their arm and go, I don't remember your name.
Help me. One time.
Wrong person.
I met I'll do a name drop. I knew you wanted me to.
Yeah, please.
I'm friends with Fred Armisen, who dates the lovely actress Natasha Lyonne.
I wondered why they were together that one time at your birthday.
At my birthday.
Yeah.
So, because they've been dating a while, actually, and they showed up, and I knew her from Twitter, and I, of course, know her from her amazing body of work, and I have always been a fan and love her so much. But when I saw her standing in front of me, I was so excited, and it took me by surprise that I just grabbed her forearm, and I wouldn't let go of it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
In this way where I was trying to convey to her, but I didn't want to, gush, and it's my friend's girlfriend, so, I'm supposed to just act like, oh, I'm just meeting my friend's girlfriend, but I just wanted her to know how much I loved her.
Yeah, it's grabbing someone's hand and holding it seems like it seems disingenuous, not genuine. What's the word?
Certainly. You were right both times.
Yeah, yeah. If you're just holding someone's hand, that seems like a parishioner or someone saying thank you for coming to
like doing one of
service.
Those yes
or yes and then I keep holding it. How uncomfortable is that? Is this weird that I've been
my arthritis?
We've never held hands this long.
That's true. You're kind of clammy.
Oh yeah. Trust me, you don't want me rubbing. I'm like Mr. Clammy Hands. I know a guy named Wayne McClammy, actually, and I call him Wayne McClammy Hands.
Really?
Anyway, The point is
Natasha Lyonne is a great actress.
Yeah, and grabbing an arm, though, is a little like, hey, you're in trouble, no recess for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like I was saying, no recess from my love.
Yes.
I'll never stop loving you, Natasha Lyonne.
You are in love permanent detention.
She is, because I will say this. She is one of those Hollywood people where when you meet her, you can tell why she looks so great on camera. All of her features are, it's like the golden ratio on her face. Her face is perfectly put together. Her hair is so good. Like, it's just this big, long, curly mop. And then she's Natasha Lyonne, so she has, the best personality. So I was just, overwhelmed with how much of a fan I was of hers.
That show where she has to relive every day, like Groundhog Day.
Russian Doll.
Yeah, it was then that I realized how very good she is at acting.
So good.
Yeah.
She's great. I do want to loop back, though, and say, I just want people who listen to this podcast to know I would never, ever drive if I thought I was going to have a seizure. I feel like me talking about my seizure emergency patrol is like the scariest thing I've ever talked about on this show.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not anything I've actually worried about. I'm just like,
okay,
it does hit me every once in a while that it is something that could maybe happen.
Yeah.
But I know you got a handle on it.
It goes boom, boom. Look at this. Doot, doot. I'm looking away. Doot, doot.
Oh, wow. You did do it.
Doot, doot. It's easy.
So if you're looking away and you look away and you start going for that hazard button, I am taking the wheel.
Yes, absolutely. But don't scream or do it and start crying,
you know what?
Please.
I've been in emergency situations. I get stressed out when a flight doesn't work out or something logistical happens. I kind of lose my shit.
Yeah.
But if shit goes down.
Yeah.
If the world is ending.
Yeah.
There's a mushroom cloud in the distance.
Yep.
Or someone pulls out a gun. You'll find that I suddenly am cool as a cucumber.
For real?
I'm not. Yeah. There's been times. Car wrecks. Death, accident, a person that is on the side of the road. We have to go talk to them. I've had that happen. These are all things I don't want to talk about on the podcast.
good idea.
But in retrospect, I am in an emergency situation. I do suddenly morph into a man.
You mean your little boy legs get real long all of a sudden?
Oh, God. It's like a scene that should have been in Pinocchio. I come bursting out of that blowhole like a muscly human. I'm no wooden boy anymore. Let me take the wheel.
The blowhole of life.
Yes, yes. Metaphorical whale.
I think I've bragged to you about this already because I'm the same way. But I was raised by two first responders. So I think it was like it was unacceptable to be in any way uncool.
Right.
In an emergency situation. I've never saw either of my parents ever overreact.
Right.
About emergency things.
Right.
But if you left a light on in the bathroom, my dad would lose his goddamn mind.
Sure. Okay. That's funny. My brother-in-law, Mike, is a fireman, Lisa's husband, and she has more stories about it, but I've seen it. If someone's crazy, if there's a threat of any kind, he becomes so calm and intimidating to people that are scary, like just because he's dealt with them.
Right.
Before.
That's what my mom was like because she worked at a mental hospital. And so if there was the screaming person in front of the grocery store or whatever, everybody else would be running away and hiding their children. And my mother would be going out going like, excuse me, I need to ask you a question really quick. She would go in and start solving it for everybody.
Yeah. Just engage them. And God, part of me, a small part, wants to work in some sort of a facility. And of course, for people with Alzheimer's, if some judge was like, you need to donate your time. Because I do enjoy interact. It's not I think it's a thing that most people would avoid because they get sad, but you and I have been through the shit.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, I don't know, maybe it would still make me sad. I don't know. I care about those people. Now it sounds like I'm bragging. Nobody brags about me.
You're bragging
that
you care.
I'm a manly, sensitive. Oh, get out of me. I also sleep too much and I pick my nose. Listen, I'm also a piece of shit. Okay, does that make up for it?
You're merely human, as we all are. But wait, I was bragging about myself. I'm merely human. That you remember
Born to make mistakes.
Born to make mistakes.
I don't remember going at high like that.
No? That was the my contra alto part in choir.
I think Steven's in the back seat almost panicked because this is supposed to be a Q&A episode. And it looks like we are not going to do it.
I was just going to see how long we could go without
No,
and
no.
We'll just do one question at the end. Before we start, sorry, Steven, I just do my brag?
Because
I was saying, because I was raised by first responders, stop me if I've told this story.
That you want to be a cop, kind of?
No. And do you know that every time I see my father, he tells me women shouldn't be the policemen? Every time. Women should not be policemen. I'm like, Dad, I'm not having this conversation with you again.
Because they sometimes can do fewer chin-ups.
Yeah. Basically, because he's afraid that someone's going to hit a lady in the back of the head. Like, he's afraid for the idea of it. I was like, Dad, they get guns like everybody else.
Just have him watch some Ronda Rousey fight MMA or something.
For real.
There's examples.
Or Happy Valley, that British show that's so good, and the woman is the head British cop, whatever that's called, and she just handles shit all day long.
Yeah.
So good.
There's
so anyway, here's my brag.
Okay.
One time in college, stop me, truly. One time in college, my sister was moving out of her apartment, and the guys who she was friends with who were in the apartment next to hers, it was all outside. So we were moving stuff in and out of this car, and I opened the passenger side door to put a box inside and like leaned in to put the box on the seat and looked down, and there was a coiled rattlesnake on the floor of her car.
You're shitting me.
Uh-uh.
And so someone was trying to murder her?
No, someone was playing a prank because it was a stuffed snake. But I didn't know that it was a coiled rattlesnake ready to strike. And I moved backwards and shut the door so quickly because all the guys were standing out on their porch watching to see. What girl would see it and freak out and scream and run? And it, instead of doing any of that, I just pulled myself backwards and shut the door so fast.
And they all started slow clapping?
Yeah, they were basically like, oh my God, that was supposed to be a prank. That was amazing.
Oh,
like,
wow.
How did you do that?
Oh, that's awesome.
I've never told that story before.
No, I love it.
Shit,
yeah, that was
gem.
Scary. And I like how you made me think it was a real snake until I demanded
right?
the details.
You don't lead with the fact that it's a stuffed snake. It takes all the drama out.
Yeah, I should have just let it unravel or uncoil.
That was worth going back to 4 different times, right?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, great. Now I feel great. Should we start the Q&A?
I'm glad I didn't stop you. Yes, let's do what we plan to do.
Okay.
Would you rather fight a horse-sized duck, right?
Just kidding.
The classic question.
That was posted at a Starbucks. I'm starting to think you just have Starbucks fans all over the nation.
Well, and you do,
because
too.
Because someone took a picture. Yes, that's this podcast.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting I'm on it. Sometimes I think I'm a ghost haunting this podcast. And the whole time I've been listening to myself. I want to think that, since it's part of it's on the job requirement, getting hired at Starbucks. Anyway, someone had that horse duck question on him.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I saw that.
Okay.
Horse duck.
Yes.
97.
Okay, now, first question. Thank you, Stephen, and also sorry.
Okay, first real question from @Dodd_Angie. Would you ever consider taking a road trip for the podcast?
Love it.
Yeah, I do too. I imagine if we were on a long desert road going to, Palm Springs. Let's just make it Palm Springs.
Okay.
Because I can't think of a destination that... We would, first of all, it would be just logistically, it would be a calm studio setting almost if we're just on a straightaway.
And oh, right.
No one's going to drive in front of us. There is actual no traffic or lock-wielding bike murderers.
Right.
And then I'd also just logistic, we would hammer out probably 3 episodes.
Oh, yeah, that's true, depending on how far we went.
We'd just have to have a thing to go to.
God, what if we did an entire season in a car on the road?
Across the country?
Yes, we just keep posting shows.
What if we did a road trip season?
Route 66, we revisit... Route 66.
Oh, yeah. Historic Route 66. Sometimes shows up on Google Maps as a direct turn on Route 66. But there's no old-timey rickety wooden signs from back when that was a route.
Right. It's just on Google Maps.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's an old motel with a neon sign. That's how you know.
Yeah, yeah. Or a prospector's body.
with a chest of gold.
I never found my nuggets.
Oh, wait, is there a junior high fight in front of the floral place?
Oh.
Look at the group of kids.
Ooh, backpacks versus fannies. No, they're there.
They're just waiting to cross the
street. It is weird. It's a flower shop.
They all got out of school because it's 3:15.
Just a little graphic design trivia. The Valvoline logo is the same as Vagisil's.
No.
Yeah, there's just a slight little, the bottom of the V is a little different, and the blue is purple on Vagisil. Anyway, next question, Steven.
Yes, we're definitely going to go on a road trip at some point. We have to.
I'm glad I didn't make a dipstick joke. Okay. Sorry.
Those are two products that need to come together.
They do.
They do.
It makes more sense than Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bell. That's just a real estate thing, I guess.
Okay, we're ready.
Yeah. Okay, Witchy Narcolep says, if you had Angeline on the podcast, what would one question that you would ask her?
Angeline, the woman in Los Angeles who's famous for being famous. She's been on billboards across Los Angeles since the late 70s, I believe.
I'm afraid that I would just be very kind to her because I have a feeling it would be a situation that would make us sad. Like, I don't think she's a vibrant storyteller that is filled with joy. I feel like there's a chance, as cool as she is, and as cool as her history is, and interesting as her story is, that it would maybe be a bit of a bummer, and I'm only saying that because I know someone that won a raffle thing where she spent the day with Angeline, and it was kind of a sad situation.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I was in the grocery store that's on Laurel Canyon. Ooh, sorry, I just sent a gift. Okay, I'm putting that down.
Were you sending a gift?
I did. Oh, did you see that?
Oh,
that white Mercedes took a right from the middle.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Ooh.
No, that has the lines of an asshole's car. Modern, sleek.
White.
Riddled with white confidence.
Okay, some pedestrians. I was in the grocery store in Laurel Canyon, which is this very small grocery store that's been there since the 60s. They don't stock enough items, and when you stop there, you regret it deeply because you can't really
get back off the road. You think that'd be what having Angeline in the car would be like?
No, no.
Oh, sorry.
I was there, and she was...
Oh, for God's sake.
Damn it.
Everyone, let's go to the freeway, a new road trip. Sorry, I'm yelling. I'm deaf in one ear.
There's something seriously going on. Why is it so packed out here right now?
I don't know. It's lunch traffic.
It's definitely 3 p.m. lunch traffic.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's I wanted to say happy hour. It's rush hour starting.
The opposite of happy hour.
Yeah.
I was in that store and Angeline was in line in front of me.
What was she buying?
I can't remember. I just remember the outfit. Thanks everybody for running these red lights. Super not cool, especially you. She was wearing a very small veil in front of her face. I think she's one of those people that she was so, she is so attuned and I guess identified by her beauty.
Yeah.
That the fact that, because she's in her, I think, late 60s or early 70s, so she's not perfect faced anymore and she doesn't like it.
Well, also apparently there's been some discount procedure aftermath.
Oh no.
And some thin nose coverage.
Oh, right.
Skin wise.
Yeah.
And there, so if you win the contest to drive around in her newer Corvette, there is a geisha type fan in front of her face that she will keep up while driving. So that's someone that, okay, the answer to the question would be, I just ask about the past. Like, how did you first get discovered, or how did you first make people discover you? Those kind of questions.
Yeah.
Not like, what did you do yesterday?
But what about if Angeline watched Succession, then you could just talk to her about like a show that you had in common or something.
Right,
I guess
right.
You don't watch Succession, but...
Oh, I watched all of it.
Oh,
did you? I just closed out the last...
Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just talk about a third item.
Yeah, figure out common interest and talk about that, not her life.
Aside from all these other things outside of Hollywood, what she passionate about or whatever.
Right.
Just get an actual personality.
Politics.
Let's talk politics. Okay, I think we figured that out.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, kind of related to the Succession thing. At Petite says, if you could kill off any character from a current television show, who would it be?
Oh, boy. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Marianne, and of course I would have Marianne be killed, but that's already giving away to... Well, the show is named after the main scary witch ghost. And it's very frustrating that she seems to be not defeatable. So if I could kill her off... Yeah.
I started watching that show on your recommendation, and I had to turn it off after the lady in the very beginning that was like...
Oh, just that?
Because it was
that
like
woman,
very late at night. Her face was so scary.
You have to watch it, just her acting ability, and then you get a contrast at when she's normal.
Oh.
That is one of the best actors I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, I'll keep
all the acting in it is so good, and you have to be watching it in French with subtitles. Don't watch the English, because it's beautiful sounding. And you have to be reading it. It's like reading a book. You can enjoy it more than people in France are enjoying their own show.
You know what? I was... Whoa, what?
You, everyone is crazy.
Jesus.
That was amazing. That was, again, a car coming straight at us.
Coming straight at us on the wrong side.
Going very fast, thinking he was... Oh, God.
Steven, did you get a picture of that?
I mean...
Oh, but my God.
Who would I ask? I don't know. You go next. Who would you want to kill on a
show? Oh, kill off on a show. Well, I think it would be interesting on the Righteous Gemstones to kill off John Goodman, which I know is sacrilege to even say.
It's such a similar show to Succession, I feel like.
I made a joke about that.
Oh, did you?
Recently, yes, because I was like, they are very similar, and I was like, what if the place where they're joined is at that amusement park.
Right,
it's owned by the Roy family, but it's about the Gemstone family.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But then there'd be no more Goodman in it.
Well, but so I think if Goodman was out, then it's all of those people competing to be in charge of that church.
Oh, so you think it would be help the story?
I mean, I just think it would be interesting because suddenly then it wouldn't be the three siblings together, which is what just happened.
Yeah.
It is so much like Succession.
Yeah, it's so very similar.
It's so funny. But then it could
There's even a meek husband for the daughter that's trying to fit in. Like, they came out at the same time, so.
We can't be the first people to talk about this. I just can't imagine.
Most people are comparing it to the Trump family Succession, I think.
Right.
Which I was, but. But yeah, Righteous Gemstones, very good. I don't usually watch comedies.
Yeah, same.
And it's a great one.
It really is. And I really genuinely adore, I almost called him Kenny Powers. him.
You know, I was getting a little tired of his, I say something dumb, all confident.
Say his name though. What's his name?
Danny McBride.
Danny McBride. Yeah, yeah. I fucking adore that guy.
Yeah, he's very good in this. He's like acting in it.
Yes, it's a different character than he's done before. It's the same type of dude because he's so good at playing that kind of dude.
Yeah.
But it isn't the Kenny Powers thing. Right. It's like Kenny Powers North.
Yes, yes.
Northeast.
Yes, yes. It's the Highland Park of Kenny Powers.
It's Boyle Heights Kenny Powers. Okay.
All right. At Logan X, besides us almost getting into an accident now, what's your worst car experience?
Yeah, I would just talk about the accident that when we first started in your Honda Fit, which we're behind one now, and that being crushed in a car by two other cars was... But I've had other more lighthearted experiences. I've just had so many shitty cars that leaked oil and I'd have to pull over and periodically put water in them, just like a person that didn't have money and never had a good car. I had a car once stop. It just stopped working. A belt flew off and a piston shot up and dented. I saw it hit the hood. So I'm like, oh, my engine just exploded. And because of a timing belt, it was nothing I did. It was just that car's day to stop abruptly on the freeway. And I was on the 405 and cars barely avoided me and they kept coming and I was in the middle of the freeway. Worst nightmare ever. And of all, Nikki Glaser came and picked me up and helped me get the car off the road.
That's so nice.
Yeah. It was just like the last person, and we were pretty close back then, and she was great. I didn't have AAA, of course, like what, but that was scary. If you die, if you stop on the freeway, it's always like when there's traffic and you see that it's because some person's car is in the road, you're like, oh, come on, buddy. Like you're mad at them almost.
Yeah.
But I was that person, and it was so damn scary.
On the freeway.
Yeah, in a crappy Camry that I maybe drove for a month.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it had a timing belt that was ready to go.
I'm going to do something illegal.
Oh, yeah, I like it. Right next to the Delancey Street halfway house.
Woo, keep it up, guys.
Yeah, you can kick the habit of doing bad.
I will say, I will just name off a couple quickly. I was flipped out of the back of a truck. I rear-ended people. And when I was in college, I used to drive so fast. I was such an idiot, and I rear-ended people constantly. It was like what I did on the weekend. I basically got T-boned, and my airbag went off. And weren't we just talking about that? Maybe I was talking to somebody else about it. That it made me believe in the Honda Fit because I got T-boned with a guy going at like 45 miles an hour. And although it was shocking and like I was a little bit sore the next day, nothing happened to me physically.
Yeah.
I
bet you'd find this car is even more equipped.
I think so.
Yeah.
One time, yes, in my old Lexus, I was going down Riverside and there was a man in front of me that was stopped but didn't have his brakes, like his foot on the brakes, so there were no lights on. It looked like he was going forward.
Oh, wow.
And so I was just kind of slightly not looking, like wasn't focused.
Right.
I was like kind of thinking, I slam on the brakes and like really hard. So I come within like 6 inches of his back bumper because he was waiting for a parking spot with his foot off the brake.
Oh my God.
And then right as I was like, I didn't hit him. And I was like, oh fuck. And then I look in the rearview mirror and this car is sailing at me. And the car behind me never even put on their brakes. They just slammed into the back of my car.
Oh no. And you saw it coming?
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
And that Lexus, I was absolutely fine. There was nothing wrong with me, which is a miracle. And the car behind me hit me so hard. This spare tire is housed up underneath because it was the Lexus SUV. Uh-huh. It was housed underneath. He hit me so hard that the spare tire came out and flew backwards.
Oh, my God.
So, like, the force went backwards. I got hit so hard. It was fucking crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll never forget when I got rear-ended that I noticed, upon impact, the glove box open, and then when we hit the car in front of us, it immediately shut, and the first thing I saw was a ballpoint pen stuck in the vent here. It just flew out of the glove box and then was stuck in the vent, and my face slammed down right next to it, and that was the first thing I noticed. It's like, wow, that pen almost went in my eye. Also, we got in a huge car wreck just now. Yeah, it was, anyway, there's scary things that can happen in cars.
Very much so.
Okay. Are those, yeah.
Okay, Alkaline Photos asks, Karen believes in Bigfoot. Does Chris believe in anything, in any mythical creature realm, ghosts, aliens?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I have become, since I've lost people and then felt their presence, I was an anti-ghost person. I didn't want to hear your ghost stories. I'd even experience some things and dismiss them, thinking, oh, that was just a cool breeze, or maybe those glasses were stacked weird, that's why they fell down, or maybe people were laughing in the next room and it wasn't just dead. I think working girls is the right word. Anyway, I've experienced things, and then when my friend Zach died, I kept... certain songs kept playing. My phone kept going to the last text. I'd pick up my phone and it was just on the last correspondence I had with him. There was little things that were very hard to ignore and made me shudder, but also made me feel happy, and I felt like he was there. And to me, that was someone's spirit or whatever. And that's when I became the religious man you see today.
The straight up Bible thumper that you are right now.
That's why I've been so scared to believe in ghosts, is because it's like, well, shit, now do I have to become like a Christian guy? I don't believe in that necessarily, or the story, the rules.
I don't think
you have to follow to believe that.
Yeah, you don't have to, because I think believing in ghosts is really just saying you admit you don't know.
Right.
Go, dummy.
I am very much. Go, dummy. Go, dummy. Go, dummy. Go.
Go, dummy. Don't get us killed.
Yes, I am a spiritual person. I believe in ghosts. I don't spend much time worrying about aliens, though. There's so many domestic problems that we have.
For real.
But I'm sure they're out there, and I bet I never meet one.
Knock wood.
Yeah.
Okay, next question.
All right. At Tracer Racer X.
Oh.
I like the way that they word this. I would like to know who taught you both to drive. This is not shade. Tell me the individual stories of your driver's education.
Yeah, that has
to be. This is not shade,
that's
even
so great.
Though I'm saying it that way.
There are so many funny moments oddly hidden in the Flintstones cartoon, and one of them once was, hey, buddy, who taught you how to drive? And Fred Flintstone was like, Mr. Stonely at Rock Rock High School or whatever, like he told his driver's ed teacher. And when I was a little kid, I was like, oh, that was a smart joke.
Yeah.
The other one was a lady behind. It was always in traffic, too. A lady behind him. It was, the light was green, and she said, "Any particular shade of green you're waiting for, sonny?" It was on the Flintstones. I'm like,
and good writers.
Yeah. Anyway.
So you love the Flintstones. That's your answer?
My answer is, I used to go with my dad, and we'd go to the baseball fields where I had Little League, and I would try and drive that Volkswagen bus. All the more reason that I was excited that it would one day be my car, or disappointed when it was sold before I had my driver's license. But it was very hard stick to learn to drive, like a long... You know,
yeah.
It was like 3 feet long, and the clutch was very difficult, and it was very hard for me to learn, but I always drove a stick after that, and now they don't make those anymore, pretty much.
So the answer's your dad?
My dad did, yeah. And then the driver's ed, too. It was a big part of high school.
Yes, it was.
Take a class.
Yep.
I was so equipped.
Do you remember your driver's ed teacher's name by chance?
No. He did do some bizarre things, though, because we had to learn to drive in the snow. So we'd go up to a snowy mountain road. Mm. And then out of nowhere, without warning, he would just pull the emergency brake.
To see how you could handle it.
Yeah, but there's no handling an emergency brake situation. You are just going to whip a 180 and then end up in a ditch. I didn't know how crazy it was until... I became an adult. I'm like, what was the best case scenario there? Was he crazy?
I think it was like, maybe it wasn't the best decision, but he was basically going, anything can happen when you drive, especially in the snow.
Yeah. And so let me show you that while I also let off some steam.
Well, our driver's ed teacher, so my dad also taught me, my mom was like, come back when you know how to drive, basically.
Yeah.
my dad did it, and he was very bad at it because my dad yells. Basically, as my mom explained it when I was growing up, she goes, he yells because he's scared.
Right. That's funny.
It was kind of helpful, but also just when you're being yelled at and driving, it's very high pressure.
Yeah,
maybe that's
yeah.
why I can do it now. But we also had this driving teacher, and he taught at the public high school where there was way more kids. So we had to, I think it was sophomore year, because it was when you were 15 going on 16, we had to go to the public high school to take driver's ed. And I was so nervous with who was going, because the two kids took every driver's ed thing. So I was like, who's it going to be? It's going to be this public school kid. I'm going to get bullied. I'm going to get beaten up.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be mean to me. It was so freaked out about it. And I show up the first day. It's my friend, Patty Leone, who goes to school with me. And we were so excited. We're like, oh my God, thank God. But this teacher, you would drive around. You had to go to the high school at like 5:30 in the morning.
What?
Yes. And you had to drive. He would make you drive around for half an hour. And then you drove him to the donut shop that was over by Hagstrom's grocery store, and then he would have a donut and sit and drink coffee with his friends and chill out and talk to his friends, and you could either sit in the car and wait or go into the donut shop with him. That was your choice. And so Patty and I would just be, and then after like a half an hour, we get back into the car and drive some more.
So you learned a lot from that guy.
Yes, that's... Well, basically he broke it up so that if we were supposed to if the class was 2 hours, he was teaching us for 1 hour or an hour and a half. But he's the one that always did it. He taught pretty much every teenager in my hometown how to drive.
Oh, okay.
And it was the car with the brakes on his side.
Oh,
it was
wow.
like an official, you know, driving.
We didn't have that.
Yeah. It was very official.
Yeah. I think that my guy was the same thing. I just don't remember him. But that's amazing that you had to go early in the morning.
Because
we just had a class, a driver's ed class, and we did it during that period.
Oh, we had that too, but this was, this was driver's training.
Hi, go ahead. We made room with you because our dads.
Cars are coming.
Hi. Yeah, let's just wait this out.
Uh-huh.
They don't seem to be in that much of a hurry. Must be a drop-off. Drop off, not a pickup. Does that make sense? we already lost this one. Let's go through the motions. Okay.
Just a quick follow up to that from the Lizness asked, have you ever taught anyone to drive or plan to, I guess, in the future. I don't know how you...
Yeah, it seems like a job. I got to become a dad first. I had an audition where I had to pretend to teach an actor kid to drive. And he... oh, wow, look at that dog with it. He's so happy about his sweater. that one was actually smiling.
That dog.
It was an improvised audition, and it was a real kid, and I was impressed with how much I remembered in my improv.
Of how to drive?
Yeah, check mirrors, here are all the things you need to do first.
That's funny.
And then afterwards the kid was like, actually, that was pretty good. You seem like my driving teacher. Because he had just learned to drive.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Have I ever taught? I may have taught people how to drive a stick. Because it was very important to my dad that my sister and I learn how to drive a stick.
Yeah,
so that we can get out. It's not, because they barely make them. But his whole thing was, you need to be able to get out of any situation at any time.
Yeah.
So we were taught how to drive sticks, and very few other people I knew how to. So
yeah, everyone had an automatic.
Yeah. So I think I taught people how, but I can't remember it specifically.
Yeah. Next question.
All right. At Princess Xenon, favorite Halloween costume you've done?
I can answer this one because it was a year, it should have been my sophomore year in college, but I'd already flunked out. And we threw a Halloween party at our house. I lived there with Maleva, Christy, and Patty Riley. And ooh, that guy. And I went to the thrift store and bought this full-on Jackie Onassis outfit, and including the pillbox hat. And then I put blood on the front, and I was supposed to be Jackie O the day that JFK was murdered.
Oh, yeah, that was triggering for people, I bet.
Well, no one really saw me because I got drunk before the party even started and was passed out in my room.
Hey.
So I had my perfect outfit, and I was just passed out on my bed for the whole party.
Oh, wow, that's like an actual sad story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Many of my college days were.
I've done things like that. Well, I've got, I don't have the energy. I'm going to sleep. I've had some wines, but you actually passed out, like didn't remember sleeping, maybe?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't remember. No, that's how I drank. It was a Gatorade and vodka was a big drink because we thought it went into your bloodstream faster.
Oh, wow.
We were very serious about getting fucked
up. The alcohol hopped on the back of an electrolyte and went immediately.
Yep, and went straight to your drunk center.
That's so funny. You might as well have done funneling or, don't you put vodka in your butt? Who knows what kids do.
They do crazy shit.
They do.
These Tide Pods and shit.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Chris is, now you have to think of a different one because we even just talked about this.
Well, have I talked about the tree I made?
No.
I was in San Francisco staying at a friend's house. I was there a couple days early and he works during the day. So I bought a cylinder that was meant for pouring concrete, making a pillar. And it's just made of cardboard, and I put bark on it, made branches. There was a bird's nest in it. My gloves had leaves and branches on the fingertips. My feet, I just put leaves on a pair of shoes. But and then I cut a hole like I was in the Winnie the Pooh honey hole of a tree, and that was my face. And then I, on stage, I would never do this now, but it was Halloween, and I did stand up at the... that night as a tree, and I wrote some tree-based material about...
Say you'd never do this, but there's just that last episode where you talked about being a vampire on stage.
I know, and then I did it as Evel Knievel. I keep breaking my own rule, but I'm not doing it this Halloween.
You promise?
In Austin at Cap City, October 31st.
Be there, Austin, October 31st.
I'll be in plain clothes. Sorry, I've learned my lesson. But
Give us a couple tree jokes, please.
Also, my roots are in stand-up. I'm thinking of branching out into acting. Like, that's how he talked for some reason.
The tree was from New York?
Yes,
he was. A tree grows in Brooklyn?
Yes, he was from Central Park. He had a backstory. I did my work. But I couldn't hear anything because it was just in the top. There was the cylinder hole where all the branches were. But I didn't make ear holes. So I kind of had no idea what was going on. And afterwards, I went out with people from the punchline. I was looking for an ATM. It was back in the days when phones were terrible. My phone had died. I had no money. Uber and Lyft didn't exist yet. I was looking for an ATM, and a guy started following me around, and I still was wearing my costume, and he was like, "Well, I'll help you find an ATM. Can I borrow a few bucks?" And I'm like, "Sure." And then he started following me in the darkness, and he got his arm, he grabbed me, and I freaked out. And this is when the costume broke into pieces, because I basically got in a fight with the guy, or I swept his leg. I slammed him on the ground. I was hitting his head on the ground.
Jesus.
And I know this isn't, I got in a fight basically, but I was scared. I thought this man was attacking me, but he had a look on his face that immediately was like, "Why are you doing this?" And I'm like, and we just stopped, and then I realized he was just a little crazy, and maybe he was making a tree-hugging joke.
I don't know.
He was not, because he didn't grab... He put his arms around me, though, but it wasn't aggressively enough for me. But when someone does that, and I couldn't hear, all I had was my face hole, I just lost my mind.
Sure, absolutely.
But I like the idea of people driving by and just seeing a giant tree slamming a man on the ground.
They're like, that reminds me of the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, he clearly was a crack user
type
guy.
Fan?
He was a very thin, I overpowered a very thin street man, and I feel confronted by it, but I had the right to do it. Anyway.
Yes,
That's one of my favorite costumes. Jesus. God, I have a way of telling stories. It's called The Long Way.
At Chrissy What I Did, as a kid, did you ever call into a radio station to request a song? If so, what was it?
This is the best question of all time.
That is a great one.
So wholesome.
I can answer this because this is super embarrassing and stupid. When I was 12, my Uncle Steve died of a heart attack very suddenly. He was like in his late 50s. It was very surprising. And it was the first family death I'd ever experienced. It was just bizarre. And so there was this radio station in San Francisco, KFRC. It was the radio station everyone listened to. It was AM radio. And it was just what you always had on in the car and everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Because it was just like kind of top 40 regular, you know.
Sure.
It was the one choice you had, basically. Until you grew up, and then you're like, oh man, KMEL. And
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, okay.
So one day I got it into my head and I called them because I wanted to tell them, please do not play the song Papa is a Rolling Stone.
Oh, wow.
I had made up this whole speech in my head of like, I've really, you know, with someone died and it's just don't do it. Where it wasn't even like that kind of radio station, because that would kind of be an oldie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so I called the place and it just rang and rang. No one ever picked up the phone. And then eventually I went like, what am I doing? And I just hung the phone back up. But it rang probably 20 times before I was like, stop it. You're just being weirdly dramatic.
And you were calling to not request a song.
Yes, I was calling to actually tell them that there was a song that was now banned.
Oh, God. Those songs I can come up right away. I would call and say, please don't ever. Can we delete the song Bird is the Word?
Can we delete it right now? Damn it.
That's the last time I'll ever do it. it was kind of a normal thing to do when there was a college radio station, and I would see them going a little too far synth pop, or, you know, it was all music I kind of liked, but then I would call and request songs. It was kind of fun.
Like what?
Oh, specific? I don't know. Okay. There's so many. Someone asks me what's my favorite kind of music, I can't answer it. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't remember.
So you're just saying, yes, you have.
Yes, I have.
Trust him that he has.
One time in Bend, Oregon, I requested the Sundays That I Feel Fine song. Because they were playing kind of that kind of music. And I'm like, I want to hear that.
I Feel Fine. That one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it.
I love the Sundays.
I had her picture on my wall in that bedroom. I had Harriet Wheeler on the wall.
Yeah, you should have. She is the prettiest with the best voice. It was crazy. That band, the Sundays, if you've never heard the Sundays, listeners, and you like British pop,
Yeah.
With awesome vocals and cool hooks.
Yeah.
The Sundays is your band.
If you like that Mazzy Star song, Fade Into You, but didn't like any of their other songs because there weren't any, welcome to the Sundays.
There was Give You My Lovin', which is the first song I learned to play on the guitar because it's just G and C.
Oh, wow.
I actually, and this is just a related anecdote, but I think I've told you this already. But the way I found out about the Sundays was there was this record store in Sacramento when I was in college called The Beat. And we would go there, me and my friend Patty Riley would go there because we didn't, we considered ourselves to be like mods, I guess, or goths. We didn't know. We just wore all black.
But you also rode Vespas? That would make you goth mods.
Goth mods?
Yeah, yeah.
But we didn't know what to do. Like, there was nowhere to hang out or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were too young to go to bars. So we would just go to this record store called The Beat and walk and, like, hang out there. And while I was there one day just looking around, the Sundays... Here's Where the Story Ends came on.
Yeah, that's one of their best songs, for sure.
And it's the album, probably the
reading,
best known.
Writing and Arithmetic.
Yeah, their first album, Arithmetic. And I ran to the front and was like, who is this? Who is it? Like, freaked out, and then bought the album right there. And I've been listening to it since.
I did that with Frank Black's first solo album, After the Pixies, is the best.
Mm.
And I heard it in a record store and said, who is this? I'm buying it.
Yep.
Same thing.
I love that. Yeah. Okay. We made that question our own.
Yes, we did. We morphed it. She saw what we did there. That's good. See?
Yeah.
Yeah, see what I...
You did it.
See, she...
See.
That's what she said.
See.
That's what she said. Tig. Okay.
This was a timely question. Howard said, how do you... Well, this episode... That episode's not even out yet when this is being recorded. How do you handle a restroom break if the need arises?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You'll find out.
Yeah. The episode right before this, you asked the guest if we can go back to their house and use the bathroom, hoping his baby wasn't asleep. It was kind of embarrassing, but I don't think it's happened before that, but I really had to go yesterday.
Yeah. What I was talking to Steven about while we waited for you guys, because we were out in the car, was I said, I have a theory that Chris knew he had to go to the bathroom, was just holding off in hopes that it wouldn't come into play.
Yes.
And then basically realized that was a mistake.
Yes.
And then had to bust himself.
Yep.
Yeah, all this happens live on the show. Can't wait for you to hear it.
You are exactly right. I knew right away. I should pee before we start, but how's that going to happen? We're already on the way to his house.
Yeah.
Always go at the office.
Yeah. Always.
Always.
Even if you don't have to.
Force it out. Yeah.
Push it.
That's so funny. That's my dad used to make.
Okay. Yeah. Next question.
Next.
At Curdy Moon says, who is your favorite Looney Tunes character?
It has to be, Bugs Bunny, right? He was just cool and funny and a smart ass and always in control of the situation.
Yes. Bugs Bunny was a Zen master, really. He never was in a bad mood.
Mm-hmm.
He never got emotional. He didn't react that way. No matter what, if there's a gun in his face.
Right.
People put him in a pot for stew.
It's all...
He just chilled out.
If you threw him in a pot filled with carrots... First of all, he'd be, hey, sweet, I love carrots.
He was like, this is heaven.
And there's a gun to his face. He does this thing where his eyes just kind of go droopy, like he's bored with how not scary that is.
Yep.
Like, he's like, if you're yelling at him at gunpoint, Bugs Bunny gets euphoric and tired.
Yes.
Oh, man, he's
He
cool
can
as
also
shit.
Fucking play the piano like a son of a bitch. God, I think the only time Bugs Bunny's cool it was ever... fucked with in any way was when that big weird red monster that's not true though, because the big weird when he was like I love him and kiss him and call him that thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think he liked that, but remember we got the upper hand and started doing the monster's nails and talking like he was a manicurist.
Oh wow, that was bizarre.
Yes. There was, like, every once in a while, Bugs would be in drag or he'd act like a girl.
Yeah.
And just, you know, to mess with people and to mess with gender roles.
Yeah.
I loved it.
He was a great... Who's the other choice? You know, that guy that hunts trying to kill him all the time?
No.
No one likes that.
No one likes that.
Senile murderer.
Just violence-based. It's not a solution, Elmer Fudd. Stop it.
That is all, folks.
You can't just kill everything. That is all, folks. Okay. Right. Yeah, we really solved that. Answer's easy on that one.
Yeah.
At Bonnie Puns asked, related to soup, speaking of, what's your go-to soup?
Carrot and rabbit. Yeah, I'm a big soup man. I like all soups. I'm sorry, I'm just...
You don't seem to be able to name one, so I think you're lying.
I'm not a huge fan of, like, lobster bisque. That sounds so... I'll just do, like, here's like the not request a song thing.
Good idea.
Lobster
bisque.
What don't
you like?
That's because you get excited. Bisque is a cool sounding word. Lobster, yum. But it's just a little lobster in a blender.
Yeah.
And that cold soup shit, that gazpacho, get the fuck, I'll kick it across the floor. Other soups I'm into. Tomato, sure, I'm not bored. Tomato chunks in it, even better.
Ooh.
Chicken and rice, chicken wild rice, chicken noodle.
Yes.
Any chicken-based soup. Mm-hmm. Minestrone, you bet.
How about
this? Split pea. Fuck yeah, split pea. And I don't even like peas. I've talked about it. You split them, though?
Split, please? but I was going to say, what about my first and foremost answer is broccoli cheddar. Cream of broccoli and cheddar.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, that is... It's just a meal.
Yeah, yeah, it's right there. And then that, yeah, my dad was always a big fan of the French, is it onions?
Yes.
I don't know. There's a roof of cheese on it?
Yes, it's so good.
And then you crack it in there?
You get all kind of bread.
Oh, all kind of bread.
All kind, up and down. Okay, that's soup talk.
Yeah, don't get us started on soups. Get us Sardis.
Sardis.
Started on soups.
Split. Please. Sorry. That wasn't even a good joke, and I brought it back
it's
out.
It's great. Oh, split, please.
Split, please.
Oh.
Okay.
At Christina 7 says, what was the dumbest crime you committed as a child?
Mm. Well, we talked about this last episode, too. I jumped in a car. Yeah, cop car.
Oh, mine would be, I shoplifted one Jolly Rancher. That was literally 2 cents, but my mom wasn't there to pay for it, and I needed candy because I was at the store where we always buy candy, and I was like, I couldn't deal with the idea that I couldn't have any. So I took it and then felt so guilty that I had to tell on myself like 2 days
later. Oh my
God. Like I went to my mom crying and was like,
same person.
Yeah. I was like, I can't.
Because when I was young, I stole one of these little whistles that goes, mm-hmm. Like there's a fan in the middle. It's just a plastic cylinder.
Yeah.
And I put one in my pocket from this party store in the mall. And then I hid it for a couple days. And then I brought it back and got caught putting it back. And I said, I put this in my pocket and I'm putting it back. And I think the person believed. Nothing happened after that, so I guess they believed me. But
that's when you learn to lie?
Yeah, yeah. At least lie. Even if you're being honest and bringing something back, don't be that honest to where it, like, fucks with your life.
I had to go in. My mom goes, what do you think you should do? What do you think the answer should be? And I was like, give money to charity.
Oh, that's
and then she's like, why don't you go in and tell them that you did it and pay them? Because we saw, it was the Aegis's family, it was Aegis's grocery store, and we went there every single day and bought candy.
Oh,
so it made
okay.
No sense that I would shoplift because we were always there. We always had our own money. Like,
right.
It was a very odd thing, but it was because we were with the Tamlers, a different family who were like, you can't buy candy. We're just sending you there for, like, her mom needed, you know, of course, I was about to say soup, but I don't know if that's actually what it was. And I couldn't bring myself. Jim Aegis was the one working that day. I can see it all before me. I couldn't bring myself to tell him. I went in with the money and my mom basically said, go tell him and give him the money back. And I couldn't do it. So I went in there and like lingered around by the counter and acted super weird and then put the money in like a March of Dimes can and left. And then just kind of was like, the whole thing felt so terrible.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
At this point, I would say to my mother, I was, I think, 5. I could have had a little more help with that whole moral situation.
Yeah, that's a little young. Yeah.
At least go in with me.
Yeah, I think, I had to have been 7 or 8. It's amazing how I can't. That's a very distant memory, but it is very vivid. Maybe I was around that age, too.
Yeah. Okay, let's do one last one because we're almost back to the office.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Angela's 1979 says, what's the best road trip you've taken as an adult?
Oh.
I travel is so much a part of doing comedy that I'm like, road trips aren't a fun thing. and a road trip suggests there's other people with you. I had so many fun ones. Just a group of dudes in a car going snowboarding. We'd go to Vegas just to go there and show that we grew mustaches and bought bad suits and drive back. It was just a reason to not be in the house. But yeah. I think this tour I'm going on and renting a car and going to all those cities, I think will be a fun road trip for me because I'm going to, you know, different city every day, driving in a car, renting a car. So I think I'm about to go on my favorite adult road trip.
That, you know what? That you just did that perfectly because it's the perfect last answer.
Yeah.
You added a plug.
Yeah.
My answer, I agree with Chris. That's my answer too. And now let's end because I have 1 minute before I have to get a phone call.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? D-Y-N.
A-R!
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine? Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.